Count it a great joy and a privilege and a blessing that God blesses us with from week to week, that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate all the members being here and you readying yourself to be with us. I appreciate the visitors being here. And we hope that we make you feel welcome, that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. And I'm especially thankful to see our young people with us today. Our young people could be elsewhere. They could have gotten up this morning and said, I'm not going to service. I believe I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to go to some store that's got a sale, or I'm going to go hang out with my buddy somewhere, or go do whatever. But you chose to be here, and you're to be commended for that. And I appreciate you being here. And I encourage you to keep on being in services of the church. We'll worship God in spirit and truth every opportunity you have. Even when you're away from home, find a faithful group of God's people and assemble together with them. I appreciate mentioning me in your prayers. I appreciate Greg doing that. Appreciate the good job that Lucas did in reading the scripture reading. Appreciate the good job that Ray did in the song service. I want to direct our attentions to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and then verse 2. Greg was right as he prayed in the prayer that we take our Bible and open it up and follow along. I'm not the standard. Religious truth will not be settled or established based upon what I think about something. Never has been, never will be, and I never recall God asking me what my opinion is about it. And you didn't come to hear my opinion, did you? And so all authority and power has been given to Jesus, Matthew 28:18. And we read about the will of God in the Bible, and so it's to the Bible that we direct our attention. Paul, penning to the church at Corinth, stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 2, an admonition to them, Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Some persons may say traditions. Keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. I want to talk to us for a little while this morning, as I delivered them to you. Almost all year we've been doing a series of lessons taken from Joshua 4, verses 6 and 7. When your children ask, ye shall answer them. When our young people and our kids ask us a reason as to why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do, we best be going to the book of God, the Bible, and giving an answer to those very serious questions. Questions are normal. Questions are vital. They're important. They're one of the ways in which we ascertain information, that we gather facts by asking questions, that we are inquisitive about various different things. And so we ask, we seek an answer to the questions we ask. And so parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, make no mistake about it, your kids are going to get an answer to their question. But be sure that it is a scriptural answer. The world is going to try to answer the question that they ask. We need to make sure that we answer them from the Word of God. So some may ask the question, is it really important, Mom and Dad? Do we really have to do things as specified in God's Word? I mean, does it really make a difference whether we meet and observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Does it really make a difference whether our worship really consists of singing and preaching and laying by in store and prayers and observance of the Lord's Supper? Does it really matter that we include those things in our worship? Can we do more? Does it really matter? And is God really displeased with having a piano in the worship, a guitar, a choir? Is God really displeased with those things? Does it really make a difference? Are we not just being a little bit too modern? Not in touch with the modern way of doing things? Are we really being a little bit too conservative? Aren't we just being old-fashioned? Well, doing the will of God is never old-fashioned, but be that as it may, if you want to call it old-fashioned in the sense of being old-fashioned, then let's be old-fashioned. But let's do what God says to do. Seek ye the old paths, Remember that? Wherein we may walk. Well, isn't that just what folks used to do? I wish more people would get busy doing what folks used to do, as long as what folks used to do is in harmony with the Word of God. You agree? We have a real problem in our society today, and I don't have to tell you. I mean, just look around us when folks want to say we need to be like other people. And why don't we just pattern ourselves after doing what other people are doing and be more like them? I'm not about doing that, are you? I don't want us to do what other people are doing just because other people are doing it. I want to do what the Bible says to do. Because I know that the book of God, the Bible, is from God. It's the Word of God. And it is the only message that will take us from an earth life now to an eternity with God when life is over. I want us to think about the importance of this statement as I deliver them to you. God is a God of patterns. I've heard folks say, well, I don't believe that God is a God of patterns, that patternism. You got to watch the ism things folks talk about. Maybe they'll talk about institutionalism or liberalism. Or this ism and that ism. Someone asked an aged preacher one time, well, if all these isms are bad, what about baptism? He said, that's not an ism, that's a tism. So, God does set forth a divine pattern for us in the Word of God. In the book of Exodus chapter 25 and in verse 9, Exodus chapter 25 verse 9, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Here it was that Moses was given instruction. And in verse 9, the Bible says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern in the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Also stated in Exodus 25, verse 40. And in Numbers chapter 8, and in verse 4, after fashioning the instruments that they were to use in service to God, it was to be fashioned after the pattern that God specified. There are two kinds of traditions set forth in the Bible. Maybe more, but at least two. Traditions of men and traditions given by God. The word tradition just simply means a precept or a transmission, something that has been handed down, given. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 2, 3, and 6, the Lord talks about tradition of men. You violated, you set aside the commandments of God in keeping the tradition of the elders, your own traditions. And in so doing, they had violated the commandments of God. And this people's heart, with their lips they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15, verse 9. Setting aside the commandments of God, you hold to the traditions of men, washing the cups and so forth, and other such things that you do. Mark chapter 7 and verse 8. Paul would write in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 14 that I was very zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 8, take heed, beware lest any man deceive you. And he talks about the traditions of men. Being deceived with those things after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And so the Bible talks about traditions of men. A lot of people do things and they don't know the reason that they do them except for the fact that they've always done it that way. Well, why do you do what you do? Well, we've always done it that way. Mom and Dad did it. Grandma and Grandpa did it. But yet they don't go to the Word of God to see whether or not God authorizes the doing of it. And then you have the traditions of God. Things that God has specified, like in our text, 1 Corinthians 11:2, he said, preacher, I didn't read the word tradition in that passage. Paul said, you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. And the original word from which this English word is rendered, ordinance, comes from the word that means tradition. And it's actually rendered tradition in other passages. For example, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And in verse 15, open your Bible and notice what Paul penned, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you've been taught. What traditions, Paul? Whether by word or our epistle. And so the traditions, the things that Paul instructed, came from God. How do you know? 1 Corinthians 14:37 says so. If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. And Paul says we receive the things we did by revelation, Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. And so, the Bible talks about the traditions that came forth from revelation, that is, the things that God would have us to do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, notice a command that's given. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, that is out of step, out of line with. Withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. You need to also think about Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27. It'd be a good passage for you to write down and study. By the way, I sort of say pick an outline up in the back. They're all gone, but if you'd like to have one, you let me know and I'll get it to you. So God is a God of patterns, and there are at least two traditions that the Bible talks of God or of man. That passage in Matthew 21 speaks about the baptism of John. Was it of heaven or of men? Authority is even of heaven or of men. That's a point that is being emphasized in that passage. But then also we need to understand that man is forbidden to deviate from what God has said to do. I want everybody to listen to me, but especially our young people. When you go away from mom and dad and you leave the home, you need to understand that God forbids you to deviate from what He has instructed you to do. And when you read what the Bible says to do, and you know full well what the Bible says to do, don't be persuaded by your peers or someone else to do something that is not in step with what God says to do. Think about what the Bible says before you do something. Not after, but before. And you'll save yourself a lot of trouble and a lot of headache and a lot of worrying on the part of mom and dad. Right? Search the Word of God to see if God authorizes it before you do it. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, don't turn to the left hand or the right. Don't add to, don't take away. Don't add to, don't diminish from, the text says in the King James Version of the Bible. In the book of Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, for I testify unto every man that addeth to the words that are written in this book, the context of the book of Revelation, the principle applies to all of God's Word, I'll add unto him the plagues that are written therein. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and from the holy city. Don't take away from, don't add to the Word of God. And the words of the book of Proverbs ring loud, written by the wise man, written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 30 and in verse 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Again, Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 6. Listen to what God says to do and obey exactly what God says to do. Well, that's just too hard. No, it's not. You can obey the Word of the Lord exactly the way God says to obey it. Here's the condition. Are you ready for it? If you want to. It's not that it's too difficult. It's not that you can't understand it. And what I say to you, I say to me. It's not that we can't understand it. It's not that we can't do it. It's a problem with the will, whether I want to or not. But then I think about several examples in the Bible of individuals who violated what God said to do. And it wasn't that God's Word was difficult and these people couldn't understand it. They could. But they made the choice to disobey. Well, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's probably where the minds of most people start. When you think about violating the Word of God, here was God told them, of all the trees in the midst of the garden, you can freely eat of it. But the tree that is in the midst of the garden, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of. They knew what God said to abstain from. They knew the consequences of it. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because Eve even stated it in Genesis chapter 3. For God has said, don't do it. But she chose to disobey God. Did God mean what He said? When I study with folks about authority, I ask individuals about these examples I'm going to show to you. Did God mean what He said when He said, don't eat it, don't touch it, from the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die? Did He mean that? Everyone I've studied to has always said yes. I've never had someone yet to say, no, God did not mean it. Well, then when you think about Moses in Numbers chapter 20, you know, there's some Bible characters that if I could perhaps feel sorry for, Moses would probably be one of them. Here, well, can you think about what Moses did as he stood before the king of Egypt and demanded on the part of God to let my people go? Folks, that took nerve. That took backbone. But he did it. And God, through Moses, showed His wonders to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage with a mighty stretched forth hand. And Moses was there. Moses had even stated when they transgressed against God. So we don't know about this Moses that went up, what's happened to him. And so they came up with their gods, made a golden calf. Remember that? Behold, your God has brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Moses said unto God, brought me out of thy book. Forgive this people of their sin. But if not, blot me out. Let it fall upon me. God said, not so. Not so. Sin is an individual affair. But yet, Moses transgressed the commandment of God. Because God said, speak to the rock and it will bring forth water. Moses struck the rock. Was it wrong that he struck the rock? Sure. But the text gives us another problem. And that is because he failed to sanctify God in the sight of the people. And as a result of that, he could not go to the promised land. But God let him go upon a high mountain and there look at the land. But he said, you can look, but you can't go. Did God mean it when he said, do as I say, speak to the rock? Yes, he meant it. There are many other examples. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, 1 and 2. These were sons, boys of Aaron. Priests. But they offered that which was unauthorized. King James Version says, strange fire before the Lord. And as a result of that, they lost their life. And you think about Achan, who took of the accursed thing. Remember when they went to Jericho? And he coveted, Joshua chapter 7 explains to us, he did wrong. Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? He did wrong. Utterly destroy the Amalekites. But he didn't do that. You think about Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Another Bible figure that tempted to feel sorry for when I read him because perhaps the ark was precious to them. You've moved a piece of precious furniture, I'm sure. Something that is fragile. Maybe it's going to rock or tilt. And your instinct is to reach up and steady it. Uzzah did that. And as a result of that, he died. Why? Because God said, don't touch it. And God meant that. The children of Israel, when it comes to the ark, because they had no business putting it on an ark borne by an ox anyway, they should have carried it in accordance with the instruction of God. And they said, we've sinned. We've not done as according to the due order. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. You think about Solomon, a man who was blessed with wisdom. We referenced one of his writings, the book of Proverbs earlier, Proverbs 30, verse 6. God blessed him with a lot of wisdom. And yet he did wrong because he took unto him many wives whom he loved and his heart went there. And God had said, don't do that. that will turn your heart from following me. And that came to pass, 1 Kings chapter 11, it's recorded. And think about Judas in Acts chapter 1, a man who was selected of the Lord to be one of the apostles, but yet he fell that he might go to his own place by his transgression, Acts chapter 1, verse 25. Ananias and Sapphira lied about their giving. It's recorded in Acts chapter 5. Simon, when he saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Acts chapter 8. Peter was rebuked by Paul to the face as we have studied from the book of Galatians in our Wednesday night class, recorded in Galatians chapter 2. It's hypocrisy. I ask this question after giving you all those examples. Are we better than they? Did God mean what He said when it came to all these individuals that I gave you? Are we better than they are? Should we think that we can deviate from what God has said to do and somehow escape the judgment of God? When we've got all these examples of individuals who violated what God said to do and had a consequence attached with it. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. These things are written for our examples, given for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Number 5. We need to understand older and younger people alike, that the Word, the standard of God, will judge come the end. I've said that to you many times since I've been with you a few years now. The Word of God will be the standard of judgment when the day of judgment comes. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him the last day." In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." God will judge through His Son. Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment to the Son," John 5:22. And the standard will be the Word of God. That passage I referenced a moment ago about these things were examples for us, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11. The Word of God will be the standard. One more point. We need to understand as we think about, "As I delivered them to you, that the unrighteous and the ungodly will not go to heaven." Un negates it. Un puts it on the opposite of righteous and godly. That means they are not godly, they are not righteous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Be not deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, when he talks about the works of the flesh. "As I've told you before," he says, "that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, you know who punishment will be taken upon? God's vengeance will be poured upon those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 2, and in verse 9, as we think about this point that the unrighteous will not go to heaven, tribulation, he says, "anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile." In Revelation chapter 22, in verse 14, beginning, that I've referenced with you many times, Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city," which is a clear reference to going to heaven. Now watch the next verse. Revelation 22 and then verse 15. For without, that is out of heaven, out of the city, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Folks, you can go to heaven, but if you don't obey, if you live for the devil and you remain a child of the devil, Acts chapter 13, and you decide, preacher, thanks but no thanks, I'll just stay in my sin, I'll just stay unrighteous and ungodly before God, heaven will not be your home. Well, if I miss heaven, I've missed it all. No, if you miss heaven, you'll go to hell. Well, that's unpleasant. Well, I agree with you, that's unpleasant, but that's the reality. Or would you like for me to stand before you and just say unto you smooth things? Would you preach to you lies and smooth things? I'm convinced, I'm persuaded I'm talking to a group of people who want the truth. I hope all of us do, and we need to be reminded of the truth. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, you need to become one. Life is brief. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, do what the Bible says, as delivered unto us. Suppose I say to you this morning, if you want to be saved, just say the sinner's prayer. A lot of people will tell you that. Lord, come into my heart. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. It's amazing to me that millions of people, most denominational bodies, teach that plan of salvation. But it's amazing to me, if the Bible be our standard, you never read that in the Bible. Not one person became a Christian by praying to the Lord. Not a one. If so, share with me the book, chapter, and verse after service. I'm interested in knowing. Come forward and fall down and pray until you've had some experience that is better felt than told. A good friend of mine I graduated high school with, he was a good friend of mine years ago, became a preacher in a Pentecostal church. A few years back, I ran into him. We were talking, and he was talking about they had a revival. He said, I had a lot of people come forward, but nobody prayed through. Book, chapter, verse, please. Nowhere does the Bible say that. But I tell you what the Bible does say. You can become a Christian by doing what they did. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believing it, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, and being baptized, immersed in water, where the blood of the Lamb will wash away every sin you've ever committed, Acts 2, 38, Revelation 1, 9, 1, 5, rather. When you do that, the Lord will forgive you of your sin and He'll add you to the church of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. Maybe you have done that. You say, preacher, I did that in the past, but I'm not being faithful. I fell away. I went back out to the ways of the world. God will forgive you, 1 John 1, 9. If you'll repent of those things, make confession unto God in prayer. When Jesus comes, will you be ready? You watching? Are you ready? Come right now.